RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned.
Brian, how are you?
Dusty. I'm good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Mike, doing well?
I am fantastic.
All right. Today on RPG Lessons Learned, we're going to talk about our PvP gladiatorial combat game. But before we get into that, just a quick reminder that this is RPG Lessons Learned, the show where we talk about our mistakes so that you can learn from our experience. All right. The PvP arena game. We had been sort of flirting with the idea of PvP for a while. And we did a pretty good job throughout our fourth edition days, throughout all our one-shots, of having characters that were fairly unified. The only PvP we ever had was when one character or another would become victim of a monster's charm spell and would direct a few attacks. But you guys usually saved out of that pretty quick. We didn't have any real character-on-character violence.
We had that one instance back in 4th edition.
Did we?
Where my cleric turned evil.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Yep. That was planned, though.
And it was like it was like a wet blanket, too. It just did not...
It didn't go over well.
Did not execute.
Yeah. So no wonder I didn't remember that one. But what I guess what I'm saying is you read these internet horror stories about characters getting mad at each other and attack. We never had any of that drama. So we had gone for a long time with no PvP. And we decided that, you know, what would be fun is a little bit of PvP as a tension breaker. So we came up with this idea for a game where everyone rolled level 6 characters. You could multi-class, but you had to choose starting equipment from one class. We had some other rules. We really codified advantage and disadvantage and not letting, you know, sort of verbal story elements dictate advantage or disadvantage. That way it was purely mechanical to make it fair since it was player versus player. So we laid out some ground rules. We laid out some ground rules for rolling ability scores. We did all that stuff. And you guys were allowed to roll whatever you wanted. And you only had to tell me so that I could bring minis. But anyway, we played this one shot where these characters, you know, were rolled for the session. They weren't going to go anywhere after this. We weren't invested in them. But it was really a chance to say, can I build a character for PvP? And for me, it was a lot about system mastery. And trying to get good at that. But let's jump in. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to ask you some questions. Was the PvP a tension breaker at all? Was it fun to face an enemy controlled by someone other than me?
I wouldn't say it was a tension breaker. I would say, if anything, it added stress more than relieved stress.
Really?
Yeah.
I meant it to be a relief valve. How did it add stress?
I guess a couple of thoughts. One, it's competition, and I'm highly competitive. And going in and battling against the guys that, you know, are part of the team that I play with every other week or every month at that point, whatever it was, for me, added stress, in the sense that it disturbed my normal status quo.
Really?
And also, too, from a competitive standpoint, I am super competitive, but one thing that I often tend to do is I will pull my punches if I feel that I want an out for not winning.
Interesting.
So I felt that, I guess I sort of tried to, gird my ego a little bit and not necessarily go all in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I keep saying things like, interesting, wow. These are genuine reactions because we did not talk about this before recording.
No, we did not. I wanted to make sure to keep everything fresh.
Let me give the audience some context here. When I talk to Brian, I'm talking to a man who loved Soul Calibur, could beat anyone at it, once beat someone else who played Soul Calibur a lot, holding the controller upside down to make it a challenge for himself. I mean, one-on-one fighting games, when I think of one-on-one fighting video games, I think of Brian.
Yeah, but in my mind, this is a collaborative, cooperative effort, not a...
Typically, yeah. But it was meant to be a little variety, something different. So for you, the fact that it's normally collaborative and therefore sort of stress-free, us turning it into a competition added stress.
So, like, funny enough, actually, before the show started, we were talking about Talladega Nights. And in my mind, I truly believe if you're not first, you're last. And, like, I really don't want to be last. And I honestly, going in on this, a lot of times just expect, well, hey, you know, I think Mike's going to win this. So, because Mike loves RPGs and like this kind of stuff, and I think Mike is the person who has the most coming in anyway, his mindset is more geared toward this style of game, where at least mine's not. I'm not an RPG-er. Yeah, it was sort of, in a way, that was kind of a stress for me.
See, it's funny you should mention that, because I was actually kind of stressed going into this too, knowing that basically my objective here was to see who could build a more rigged character to find that spreadsheet math, you know, that core competency between character classes to do the highest output of damage per second and be the least vulnerable to anyone else's attack. So yeah, I was kind of stressed going into it too, because I knew that I'd be basically going up against Chris, who would have gone, you know, deep into skills and feats and the rule books to build something crazy. And so I also equally had to go in as deep into the rule book and the skills and the feats to build something counter crazy to what I knew would be expected.
Wow, I feel like I completely misread going into this thing, because I proposed the idea, hey guys, let's finally do PvP. We'll do arena, we'll have some rules. And at the table, when we finished up one game, we always talk about our next game. At the table, you guys seemed really into the idea of having our next. So did the stress come immediately, or did the stress come later when it kind of sunk in?
It was going in for me. Less so being at the table. It was more the stress of preparing for
it. No, I mean at the table, when the idea, at the end of the previous game,
yeah,
when the idea even came up, was it immediate stress, or did it have to sink in?
It sunk in, I think.
Yeah, it was like, oh crap, this is coming up in like a day and a half. I better start building my Mondo character.
Yeah, it's exactly basically where I was.
Yeah.
Interesting. So not a tension breaker at all.
No.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So what do I write down about this? I guess, so it wasn't immediately evident that it was stressful, but it became stressful.
Honestly, for me, I think a lot of this comes down to ego. So I don't know about Mike. Maybe it sounds that way as well, and Chris isn't here to speak. But I think be mindful of your players' egos and how to best leverage your players' egos, or not to crush them. I don't know. But that, for me, it was entirely ego.
So it being ego-driven, I like that. I think the note I'm going to put down is going to somehow include the word competition instead of ego.
There you go.
Like, maybe be careful when introducing competition into your collaborative game.
Love it.
Especially competition against players. I think that's the thing you got to be careful of.
Sorry, I'm writing here.
And I think some people probably really love that stuff. Just, it's personally, it's not me.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at World of Warcraft, where PvP arenas are huge. It's half the game.
Yeah, it seems to be the point.
And yeah, look at the entire professional video game league series. That's, yeah. Yeah.
And I say half the point for World of Warcraft, because that's exactly what I was thinking about World of Warcraft, and half the game are these, you know, player versus environment dungeons, which is what we do all the time in D&D and tabletop. And then there's the PvP. So for me, I thought I was introducing a healthy mix. But this is really interesting.
So it's funny you should mention that, because my attempt at creating characters was exactly that character creation for World of Warcraft PvP. You know, you've got your flavor of the month. You've got your spreadsheet work that says if you do for this character class with this build or this equipment, you'll put out this DPS at this rate. And this is better than all other character classes of this type in this configuration.
Yeah, DPS is damage per second, right, for those of you who are not.
In the lingo.
MMOers. Yeah. And I'm not an MMOer anymore. All right. How about this then? Was 5th edition a good balanced system for this?
Yes.
I agree.
I think so.
Okay. And let me be specific too. When I say balanced, was your character sheet more important than your tactical skill level at the table? Or were they about equally important?
I always do a terrible job of preparing my character by selecting spells, selecting feats. For me, that's always a secondary sort of concern, more to basically everything else. I would be a much better player if I put as much care and thought into that as I should.
Were you, I can't remember how the competition went, were you creamed in your round? So for those listening, we did a bracket tournament. We talked about doing a round robin, but decided that was just too many fights. And we decided that a bracketed tournament made the most sense. So everyone rolled two characters. There were four of us. So a bracketed tournament worked out beautifully. In any of your bracket competitions, did you get creamed, or was it close, or?
I remember one being pretty close. I I think that was the one with, was it the Paladin or the Fighter? One of them basically, I think, come down to like one attack going sideways. And if it had been successful, I think I would have won, but I only had one hit point.
Oh, I remember that. We had two different battles come down to one hit point.
Yeah, and that was one where I basically didn't do well with that attack, and then was, of course, one hit put me down.
Was 5e a good system in terms of, did it feel completely luck-based, or did it feel like skill really mattered?
For me, it was whoever could just do the most fastest first, right? So if I could come out of the gate with a high damage attack that would then disable a character for a round or two, or make them prone, or put some sort of status on them, then that was the goal. That was the fight won.
So for you, it came down to initiative.
Yeah, it was down to initiative. If I could go first and I could then put a status on that character specifically for my monk, who could chain attack on attack on attack, that was the goal.
So if you could drop a stun, which is what you mean by a status effect, if you could drop a stun or whatever,
yep,
then game over.
Pretty much, yep.
Okay. So we thought about round robin. We did the bracketed thing. We just mentioned that. Was bracketed the right call? Would you have preferred round robin? Would it have given you the opportunity to have luck be less of a factor if it was kind of an aggregate series of battles?
Luck's always going to come into play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never not. I mean, it's a game of statistics for the most part. Not entirely. I mean, skill factors in, strategy. I don't know that it would have made that much of a difference.
If we were scientifically trying to figure this out, then I would have wanted to go to round robin. But yeah. I worried that round robin would just be too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could have a double-blinded tournament, and we don't know actually who we were playing.
I walk into the room. You're all in separate meeting rooms, and I walk into the room with, all right, here's what your opponent just did.
Sort of like mail-in chess.
That would be great.
Okay. I don't feel like I've picked up any lessons learned from the 5e a good system question or from the bracketed tournament.
Here's question. The question. So when it comes to 5e, so I think the alternative is, what would have been a better system? Like, would it have been 4th edition? No. 4th edition I don't think would have been a better system for what we were trying to do.
I don't think it... So 4th edition, there was a game called Dungeon Command, lest we forget. And Dungeon Command was largely based on the idea of, hey, 4e is a great mini combat system. If we change it up a little bit and introduce kind of a playing card element, then Dungeon Command can be this really interesting skirmish battle. I think if these were skirmish battles where each one of you controlled, you know, 4 or 5 guys, like a party, instead of one person, then 4E would have been the perfect system. But for one-on-one, 4E was so much about the roles. Tank, controller, striker.
What about BRP? Like, with BRP, that might actually have been kind of fun to try.
With BRP, it would come down to, does the wizard get a spell off, does the fighter save? And if the fighter saves and gets close, wizard's done.
Yep.
If the fighter doesn't save, then the fighter's done.
But I think, so basically, we could have rolled more characters or had pre-gen characters go in, had more games, and then I think that could have been fun.
Interesting. I'll toy around with that. So for me, 5e was the right system for this game, because part of what I was trying to encourage was 5e system mastery.
Yeah.
I felt like some of the characters had been phoned in as far as you guys building your characters. So making you dig deep and figure out how to be a little more effective. I'm not trying to encourage min-maxing. I'm not trying to encourage munchkining.
I was about to say, wait a second.
Yeah.
We have a history of having min-maxed characters. What?
You really don't, though.
But I don't.
Well, maybe I do. Maybe that's mostly me. I know Chris does, too. I know. Maybe it wasn't as true in 5th, but maybe I'm thinking of his characters in 4th. But yeah, there was definitely some min-maxing going on in our group, and skills optimization, and definitely some munchkining. I'm going to roll 4 six-sided dice.
Yeah.
For 42 hit points.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's talk about the tactical situation in the arena, right? Yep. So I set it up so that you guys were far enough apart that it took more than one turn's worth of movement to close. And to me, I thought this would give, you know, player characters other than barbarians a chance. Because your ranger's going to have no chance if every combat instantly closes. Your wizard has no chance if every combat instantly closes to melee range.
And I think we did a good job of destroying that by pretty much ruling all melee characters.
Yeah, you did. There was a ranger. There was one ranger. None of you rolled a magic user. None of you.
No.
That was surprising. I think going in, we expected Mike to be a wizard.
Yeah, we did.
And I absolutely would not roll a wizard because my wizard would have been obliterated. It is the exact same thing you mentioned before. Anyone who had closed range with my wizard would have absolutely just rolled over the wizard. The wizard is only useful if they have someone to keep space between them and their target.
Which is the point of the balance.
Yep.
Okay. So is the PvP kind of out of our system? Like, to me, you guys, sounds like you disagree, but to me, we've been building up to flirting with the idea, talking about PvP, talking about how fun it would be to fight each other. And then we did it. And I haven't heard any more talk whatsoever about PvP. Is it out of our system?
I would say for me, yeah.
I guess it's one of those things, like, it's like your 20s, you're sowing your wild oats, you're doing whatever, you get it done, you move past it. I think a lot of ways, my competitive self, you mentioned the Soul Calibur thing, that was very much part of my 20s. I think a lot of that competition when it comes to trying to prove that I'm better than somebody else or has gone away, and now I tend to just compete against myself. So that I want to be a better player. And I honestly, pitting ourselves against each other really should be the best way of doing that. I mean, I spent the whole weekend talking about Dragon Ball Z with my nephew. And of course, that's all about training and sparring. But I don't know, for whatever reason, using PvP as a measure to spar seems to be, at least in the one instance that we did it, less effective than just a lot of gameplay.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. And not a lot of story. But this was the time, too, when we were trying to figure out, in RPGs, were we as a group more comfortable emphasizing the RP or the G? Mm. And this was an attempt to emphasize the G and see what we thought.
Definitely. I think we were more focused on the G part back then, too, where I'd say as a group now we are more focused on the RP part. Mm. I think I don't want to say changed as a group, but I think we've grown up a little bit.
We've evolved, for sure.
Yeah.
So are we more or less likely to have random PvP in the middle of a session? Like one character get mad at another character and actually attack?
I don't know what circumstances would lead to that.
Yeah, I'd say unless someone was just trying to set up a separate storyline to take their character in a different direction,
So without pre-agreement, no?
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
No, good, and believe me, I don't want that to happen. So, ad-libbing an extra question here. Is this something so we mentioned doing this again. Is this something we'd ever actually want to pursue again? Or is this the waste of a good game session that we could tell a good story instead?
I would never be up for saying that we would never do it again.
Sure, never say never. But in general, right now, how do you feel? Like, eager to do it again and kind of like, now that we talked about it, I'm intrigued? Or, no, we put this to bed, and unless it comes back up on its own, I'm done.
That's it. Go ahead.
I don't have an appetite to do it again.
I would be up for doing it again as long as it was something that happened between storylines. So if once we're done with our Beginner's Box campaign in Pathfinder, if we decided that we wanted to do that, that could be something we do in the interim between the next campaign.
That just kind of sparked something in my head. Maybe if we change systems again, or if we go back to a system we haven't played in a while, maybe before we start a campaign in that system, we do a PvP session to familiarize ourselves with the mechanics of that game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That could be a good exercise.
I'm writing that down, actually. PvP as an introduction to a system.
Yeah.
Because one thing that did happen in the session that I liked a lot, well, I didn't like it and then I liked it, was how many different rules you guys have looked into.
Yep.
And when it's just me as the arbiter of the rules and then all of you guys, if I make a ruling in favor of another character, then so Mike, if I make a ruling in favor of Brian's character, that's ultimately in favor of you too, and you're not gonna be like, whoa, wait. There's this other rule that you're not thinking about, Dusty.
Yeah.
But when it's character versus character, then all of a sudden all the rules matter.
Yep.
So I think it did force some system mastery that we hadn't, I mean, at the table as well as in building the characters. So PvP as an introduction to a new system, I like that a lot. All right, let's go back to the whiteboard real quick and see. I only wrote down really three lessons learned, and two of those are closely related, so I'm actually going to cross one out. So today we only really got two big lessons learned. The first one is really caught me off guard. So it's a valuable lesson for me, which is be careful about introducing competition into your cooperative game. That's big. You guys both caught me off guard. I thought this was kind of a neat little funhouse, casual fun thing that we did. Turns out it created and drove some stress. So interesting. Seriously interesting.
Yeah. And part of me that feels intensely personal to me because I don't like losing. But the fact that Mike feels the same way, to me, says it's probably more of a...
Yeah, it's validation.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I have the same thing with board games. When I show up for a game night and, you know, at a game where I'm a player and it's like, people didn't show up, let's do board games instead. I'm like, oh, man. Because board games tend to be competitive and I feel this crazy pressure to win.
Yep.
Liz always wants to do a board game night and I always veto a board game night because I am not a good loser. And she's not a good loser either. So one of us is going to lose. One of us is going to have a bad night.
Answer. All right, so the competition versus cooperative thing, I really like that. I really like that a lot. And the second thing is perhaps consider PvP as an introduction to a new system. Would the fact that it's a new system take some of the pressure off of quote-unquote having to win? Because it's new to everyone.
In fact, I think that would emphasize it because I think if I was doing a new system and I lost, that would mean that I'm less clever. And I don't like that.
All right, so you heard it here first. We may never do PvP ever again. Within the context of a role-playing game, which is fine. It's not the point.
Wait, in the context of a role-playing game, so we may do PvP in real life?
No. In the context of a video game, certainly we'll do PvP.
Dusty would win.
Dusty would win. The last time we did that, Dusty did win.
Dusty has nailed me in the back of the head once.
We were boxing at a party. Let's not go into that.
Dusty's nailed me in the front of the head.
There were 16-ounce boxing gloves. We were wearing mouth guards.
We were. It was fun.
It was very fun.
But I hit the ground.
Me too.
All right. Well, I think that's RPG lessons learned this week. Be careful before introducing PvP, both at your table and in real life. Take the necessary precautions for your game and your teeth.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Remember that RPG Lessons Learned is a member of the RFC family of shows. So you can find RFC and all the other shows in the RFC family at tfradio.net. And then the Amazon affiliate link for TF Radio is there. This show, I don't think I'm quoting anyone when I say this. The show is free, but it's not cheap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of equipment, time, energy, hosting being the big one.
Your hosting is expensive.
That goes into the show.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for listening. Have a good week.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.